All right. Tonight we're going to kind of pick back up with You Can Run, But You Can't Hide. And obviously, as we've been just sharing over the last few minutes, we talked about Anger Sunday. And you guys heard a lot, which is really impressive. I want you to know that, as you would imagine, that particular topic, anger, did get reaction from people. As soon as it went online, it started getting reaction from people. I've got email from people I don't know who they are who've reacted to it, which is always interesting to get. If you're here, and again, you guys, as you were sharing notes and stuff, you know, for each one of these creatures, you know, I'm giving you a phrase that kind of simplifies and summarizes what the creature really is and what it's really saying. And so when we did guilt, you know, it was guilt IOU, and that we talked about that. And so for anger, I realized that the simple phrase also is an explosive phrase, because if you are prone to anger, it just makes you angry to hear it. And so to have me stand in front of you and say, if you're an angry person, or if you're dealing with anger, anger can be broken down to three words: you owe me. And it all comes from the fact that you have not gotten your way. Now, again, you remember, if you were here, I didn't say that you were justified or not justified. I still said, though, that you, when you broke down anger, that's what it breaks down to. Because someone has not done what you expected, so there are unmet expectations. There are things that you wanted that you did not get. Something that you thought should go one way and it went the other way. Something that should have happened, at least in your mind, and it did not happen that way. And as a result, you are angry, and you have reacted with anger because someone owes you something. And so where guilt says, I owe you, anger is the flip side of that. You know, you owe me. And when you start processing it that way, it begins to change the dynamic of how you address anger, which ultimately is what the Bible says. It says, be angry and do not sin. So in other words, the emotion, that flash of emotion, it's a God-given emotion. It's a feeling. It's a reaction. But if you're not careful, it can become sin. And that's why the verse is there. That's why the admonition is there, because it has a propensity to lead right to sin. And then the stuff that comes behind it is even more brutal, I think, because as we begin talking about it, you begin to realize that anger is not just an issue for us today in today's world, but it's been an issue for people for a long, long time. And anger, left unchecked, really is, and you know, we try to come up with cute phrases for this, but I mean, it creates a type of madness where you just don't do, or you lose the ability to do what you know you should do or what you want to do. And more importantly, you lose the ability to do what God wants you to do. That's what happens when anger gets unchecked. And all of these creatures have everything to do with you becoming the best version of you and taking your life up to an abundant living level that lets you live at a higher level and allows you to really enjoy and become this person that God has called you to be. And so, you know, maybe guilt is not the creature that you battle, but maybe it is, and I know that some did. And so we talked about that, and we talked about the counter to that being responsibility. Anger, on the other hand, I realized when I threw it out there, was going to resonate with people a lot more than maybe some of the others. Anger's tough. And a lot more common, because all of you have been on the receiving end of anger, and all of you have been on the giving end of anger. People have felt your wrath, and they have seen you when you're angry. But the other times, you've also been the recipient of someone else's full-barreled, full-blunt anger when maybe you deserved it or maybe you didn't deserve it. But at the end of the day, you took it, and you had to deal with it. If you think about it, though, anger is a repeated theme in Scripture as well, though. I mean, it's not, you know, we didn't pull out the only verses you could find about anger to use on Sunday. It's there. Proverbs is where we're going to go for a couple minutes. But Proverbs is one of those books when you start reading it, it dawns on you that some of the things that we all struggle with today are certainly not new, as Scripture says. There's nothing new under the sun. Anger is something that you will always battle at some level, and something we have to deal with. And so Sunday morning, we're going to have our face off with the phantom, basically, the phantom of madness. And I'm going to talk to you about forgiveness. That is the counter to anger, forgiveness. And forgiveness is probably not what you think it is. I think in church life, we probably have not done the best job with forgiveness. We've let people come away with some really wonky ideas about forgiveness. We want forgiveness to be reconciliation. That's not what forgiveness is. Never has been. May or may not be a part of it, but not a necessary part of it. And we're not really going to talk a lot about that on Sunday, but that's certainly what a lot of people think about forgiveness. And if it doesn't happen, if they don't reconcile when they forgive somebody, then they think they didn't do it right. And so they walk away angry, and the cycle starts again, which is sick. I mean, it's sick, right? And that is the madness. That is how anger just takes and paralyzes you and puts you in an endless spiral that will destroy, and it becomes a monster. And so while we're talking about them being creatures, I mean, it is a monster that just doesn't end. And you guys were talking about it in there, angry people, dealing with angry people and being on the receiving end of anger. You know, I think when you know someone who's angry or they are venting anger at you, it is like walking through a minefield. And every person is a little bit different, and you just have to figure out two things. One, how do you navigate in a way that honors God? And then how do you navigate in a way that honors a relationship, not just with God, but with this person? You know, as you can imagine, and I just told you, I've got an email from people I don't even know. You know, so they're angry at me, and I don't even know them. You know, I don't really have a relationship to navigate at that point. So, I promise I'm not going to lose sleep over that. Now, if someone gets angry at me that I know and have a relationship with, that bothers me a little bit more. And I probably navigate that a lot differently and want to navigate it a lot differently and try to get where we need to go. But Proverbs is a book that talks about it. And to be honest with you, I looked at these verses. These were all background verses to things I was going to talk about in the Bible study last Sunday or this coming Sunday. And they didn't make the final cut because, to be honest, I didn't like them. I mean, you know, I don't like the implications of them because they could be talking about me. And I'd rather talk about you. So Proverbs 14:17, for example. Somebody read that out loud. If you have a book of Proverbs. We're going to flip around there for a couple of minutes and play a little bit with that.
A quick-tempered man does foolish things, and a crafty man is hated.
Okay. What's that?
He's crafty.
Oh. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly. A crafty man, or some of your translations may say a man of evil, acts foolishly, or it can be hated. Basically, Proverbs is reminding us that a quick-tempered or impatient person readily loses control of their temper. What happens when that takes place? I mean, you then, at that point, start losing control of your ability to react in godlike ways, which is why the now whats that we talked about, those three now whats, really do come into play, and to take your first reaction and make it a God reaction is huge. If you can learn that discipline in your life, you will discover that your anger issues go bye-bye really quick. Because a moment of transparency, I suppose, most of the things that I get angry about, I don't think God's angry about. I wish he were, I guess, because I feel better about me. But in hindsight, you know, I can think of some of the things I've been probably angriest about in my life, and I don't think God's reacting that way. And so at that point, then I've got to figure out what I need to do to get my emotion back in line with who God wants me to be and how God's reacting. And when I can do that, then I'm back on track and I'm honoring God. If you know somebody with a quick temper, you know that they fly off the handle, they say things and they do things. And if there's somebody that has a quick temper, here's what we learn to do with them. We give them a pass because that's just how they are. Right? And if you know somebody like that, that's just how they are. You give them a pass. But that's not how they need to be. And it's not how God created them to be. And so for us as followers, we need to remember that while the results of anger can be devastating and people will fly off the handle, as a follower, we're called to be more. And so if we just kind of settle in on, well, that's just how I am, I've always been a hothead, Well, no, that also means you've been an adult head. But, you know, you can be better than that. You don't have to stay there. And that's a tough, tough place to be. It's a hard place to be. The Hebrew word for temper, and you'll like this. This is your bit of Bible language trivia for the night, okay? So you won't remember anything else I say, but you'll remember this. The Hebrew word for temper comes from the noun nostrils, implying the flaring of the nostrils in anger. That's where the Hebrew word comes from. So that's what you're going to remember. The Hebrew word for temper is a variation of the word nostrils.
It'd be a nice thing to remind somebody of when they're showing their anger like that. Say, your nose is
Hebrew. That's Hebrew. And see, and then I would follow it up with some smart aleck line like, you know, hey, let's pick at that. It's not funny. But I mean, it's just not going to cut it, you know. But it's running now. Anyway, it's just gross. But what happens is that in our lives, a temper left unchecked begins to just boil over and boil over and boil over. And what happens then is the worst thing happens. It becomes a habit. The way we react becomes a habit. Which is why in our lives we have to develop habits to combat these monsters. So, when we talked about guilt, you know, the idea was, well, I owe you. Well, okay, to get past that, the habit in your life has to be developed. And that habit has to be learning to take responsibility, which is that introspection, it's taking ownership, it's confessing before God what you need to confess, and it's moving on. That has to become a habit. You have to practice that every day of your life. Well, to deal with anger, as we're going to talk about on Sunday, you know, you have to develop the habit of forgiveness, and that has to be your default, and you have to understand a little bit more what forgiveness really is. But to do that, that's the only way you can navigate around anger. And so the now watch that we talked about really do help get you there, help get you started in becoming that. Proverbs 14:29. Somebody read that.
He is slow to wrath, has great understanding, but he who is impulsive insults folly.
Yeah, he who's slow to anger has great understanding. So in other words, if you can keep your cool, you will understand more, you'll be wiser, you'll see the world differently, you'll see the world better. But if you are quick to anger or you are quick-tempered, then what happens? You don't see things very clearly. Because, again, anger clouds our ability to see things. When that emotion kind of starts taking over our lives, I mean, we don't see anything clearly. If you've ever dealt with someone who's really, really angry, you ever tried to rationalize with somebody who's angry and kind of lost it and out of control? You can't, you know, it's hard to get them back. And with each person, depending on how well you know them or something, I mean, you figure out ways to kind of, you know, to get them off track, or you figure out ways to kind of help them kind of come back into play, especially if somebody with a violent kind of temper. You're always kind of afraid of that and worried about that, and because they just do dumb things. And then later, after they've been angry, it's almost coming like off a drunken binge. Sometimes they'll feel great remorse and feel sorry for it after that flash of anger because they realize all the damage that they've been done. That's how dangerous anger can be. And the flip side of that is, you know, if you're slow to anger, then, you know, you're going to see things clearly. Quick-tempered, by the way, in that verse, literally means short of spirit in Hebrew. Someone who's not of God. And so we go back to what we talked about Sunday that Paul writes about as we got to Ephesians, where basically it's the implication of, you know, don't give Satan a foothold. If you're angry, you're looking a lot more like Satan than you are like Jesus at that point. And that's the danger of anger. When anger sets in, Satan is able to get his foothold, and it makes us all look bad. And so the destructive power of anger is strong. Proverbs 29:11.
A fool gives full vent of his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control.
See, I don't like this one. And here's why I don't like it. kind of a product of a generation where psychologists and counselors have said, you need to vent your anger. Read the verse again.
What's it say?
All of his feelings.
The fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control.
Wait a minute. I've been told for my emotional health all my life, I need to go ahead, I got to vent my anger. I need to let it out somehow. It's okay to let it out. I'll feel better about me. But if, unless I'm misreading this passage, that's not what Proverbs is saying here. It's saying I can actually control my anger and I don't have to vent it. That doesn't make me a better version of me. You see, I've known people. I mean, I made the statement about people. I'm sure they probably made it about me. Oh, he's just venting right now. Give him time. He'll work through it. He just needs to vent it. But the more godly I am, I don't put myself in that position to have to vent that way. See why I left these out on Sunday? I don't like these. These are not fun. These are not good. No Proverbs thing. That's why I didn't even talk about Proverbs on Sunday. Because, you know, and that's why you had to come Wednesday night to hear this. Because, I mean, this is not good. This is counterintuitive to what I know to do. This is not what I want to do, to be honest with you. Proverbs 19:19. Somebody read that. Read this one. This is a cheery one, too. It's just like a gift that goes on giving, doesn't it? Proverbs 19:19.
Hot-tempered people must pay the penalty. If you rescue them once, you will have to do it again.
Hey, now we're talking about anger just being a habitual problem. If you rescue a hothead once, you're going to have to do it again. Why? Because they're a hothead. And it just doesn't get any better. Why? Because if you drop down, they think they're supposed to vent it. Well, no, you're not supposed to vent it like that. I mean, it is a cycle that we get into when we deal with anger, and the results are horrible. And so I am convinced, more so than maybe even when I started the series, anger is one of those things that I think a lot of people struggle with. It probably hurts us real bad spiritually, but to be real honest with you, we don't talk about it a lot because everybody deals with it. Right?
Just kind of hush-hush. You know. Because
it is such a common emotion for all of us, we want to give each other a pass, and we should give each other a pass at some level because, again, we've all dealt with it. But at the same time, the pass that we give is like, well, it's just expected and it's just okay. And however, what we begin to discover is that not only is it not okay, but it's not Christ-like. And so as a creature, anger just really does operate as a phantom that's kind of is always lurking in your life, and it creates a kind of madness that glazes over your life and screws things up. There's some other passages. I mean, it talks about how anger will stir up strife. Let me rattle these off for you real quick. Proverbs 15:18, just because I just don't want to beat you to death with the Proverbs. It says, a hot-tempered man will stir up strife, but the slow to anger can calm a dispute. You ever been in a room where people getting angry and anger feeds anger? Go home and watch the news. You know, when people start to get angry, people feed off of that. And man, it just rolls. I mean, it just gets fired up. You know, go to a comment section on a website. Ho! You know, everybody's angry out there. You know, and you're just reading, and you're just like, wow, that's nuts. And you think, man, why are they thinking that way? And I have no idea. But what I understand biblically is that, you know, it's kind of like a volcano erupting. You know, once it starts and that lava flow starts, I mean, you just can't ratchet it back. And that's what the Proverbs is talking about here. Proverbs 20, verse 2. The terror of a king is like a growling lion. He who provokes him to anger will die. Provoke a king, make him angry, he'll kill you. It's that simple. Anger is that destructive. Proverbs 26:21, like charcoal to hot embers, wood to a fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Proverbs 29:8. Scorners set a city aflame, but wise men turn away from anger. The admonition is over and over and over again in Scripture. To live a God life, to be wise, to be someone who is following Jesus, you are going to have to come to grips with the fact that anger is a monster that you've got to control. Now, Proverbs also does talk about how you kind of come up with some solutions for it. And we're going to stay here for a minute and kind of roll back into this how our heart operates. But Proverbs 10:12, go ahead and look that up. Proverbs 10:12.
Can you read out loud?
Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs.
Yeah.
Hatred will stir up conflict. In other words, hatred will cause people to fight. It will cause people to get angry. It will cause people to battle. But then love comes along and covers all transgressions. And love, in this particular case, can also be translated, again, in the Hebrew, and can mean to overwhelm. So in other words, in the midst of it all, if you want to figure out how to start dealing and navigating the world that is angry around you, love overwhelms those kinds of things. And so now we come back to what we talked about Sunday with the now whats. Make your first reaction a God reaction. React in that way. React in a godly way. And allow your first response to be to God to make sure that whatever you're getting ready to do next is what He wants you to do. Now, someone asked the question, because they always do, and it came in the email box, what about righteous indignation? So I responded back, be righteously indignant. Just make sure you're right. And they wrote back and said, well, that doesn't help me at all. And I said, that's because you're asking me for a definition or a scenario for when it's okay to be angry and when it's okay to be righteously indignant. I mean, be righteously indignant over the things that God would be angry about. So they wrote me back again. Well, how do I know what God's angry about? I wrote them back. Get to know God better. I mean, because again, I'll be honest with you. I mean, there are some times that I think I know what God would be angry about. I mean, the Scripture talks at times about how God reacts and stuff. But there are other times where, until I take the time to step back and do what we said Sunday, before you blow up, give it up. I'd love to tell you, I know what God's thinking before I talk to God about it. But that would be a lie. So, there are more moments in my life than I can tell you that I have to step back and really talk to God about whatever's going on to figure out, how is it you don't want me to react, God? What is my role here to react? How am I supposed to react? And you know what I find out more often than not? How I initially wanted to react is not how God wants me to react. What did it take to get there? Well, it took the opportunity and finding the breathing room to step back, get some perspective on it, talk to God about it, and understand it a little bit more, see it with more clarity. Now, do you always get that opportunity? No, you don't. Are there moments that you are forced to react instantly on the fly? Yes. So how do you get better at that? Back to my email response. Get to know God better. I mean, the better you know God, the closer you are to God, the more likely you are to be able to react correctly and react in a way that honors God when the situation is tough and when a situation gets heated. And it doesn't mean that being angry doesn't mean that you don't raise your voice. Being angry doesn't mean that you don't say stuff that's tough and strong. Being angry doesn't mean that you become, have to be some kind of a doormat where you get stepped all over. I mean, you can stand up. I mean, you can stand up for the things of God. You can stand up for the things that are right. And there is a right and there is a wrong. And it's okay to push. It's okay to push those things. But you also don't stay there. And when those moments come and when you find yourself getting angry and you have to say something that's going to sound angry or sound harsh, you let that out. And when it's done, you step back away from that and you ratchet that back because that cannot drive you. Which is one of the hardest things in the world to do. You ever seen a kid have a tantrum? Maybe you were one of those kids. Can't rein it back, right? You watch a kid lose it. If you have a kid that's wired to lose it, they lose it. They're just not coming back. They're just going on a road trip now. I mean, they are now out there, and they have lost it, and you're going to have to chase them around the trees behind the little animals to get them back because, I mean, they're not coming back. They're just, they're gone. They're sailing. And kids will do that. You expect that sometimes of kids. although you expect it, you don't let it slide, but you expect it. Kids react that way, and part of learning to live life is learning how to react, and they're cueing off you. And, you know, I mean, me as a wise philosopher parent, now I find myself often saying, well, but how quick are they bouncing back? You know, how quick are we getting it, ratcheting it back in? I mean, you know, okay, that's okay, bad reaction. How quick can you get it back together again? Because, again, in life, that's the skill set you got to learn, right? And so you do those kind of things, but it's something that is developed over time, and you have to understand that it's something that God is going to have to mold and make within you, and you're going to have to let him have that and be willing to go through that process, and sometimes it's painful. I mean, and I'll tell you, and some of you guys have known me a long time. I mean, you know, some of you know I can get intense and I can get ramped up. And in a meeting, I'm your best friend if I'm on your side. I mean, you want me to go to war for you, especially in a meeting setting, because I can get there quick and I can get there. I mean, I can make 10 points by the time someone else gets one point out. That's one of my, I don't know if it's a spiritual gift. It's just what I do. It's a skill. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not so good. But when it's good, it's great. But when it's bad, it's awful, you know. But, you know, the other thing is, too, if you've known me a long time, too, though, anybody who knows me a long time also know that, man, when that ratchets up, though, it comes back down. I mean, we get that plane back down pretty quick now. I can tell you that is a learned spiritual discipline that God has had to teach me, mold in me, beat me with, break me with, and break my heart with. Because there were days where I couldn't get it back. You know, and it wasn't so good. It wasn't such a good skill set to have. It wasn't so much fun to be sitting in a meeting with me. Because once it was gone, it was gone. I mean, we were going to get nothing else done. You know, and I could beat a dead horse until, you know, we reincarnated and beat it to death again. I mean, it was nothing spiritual about that. I just kept beating it. You know, and that's not a theological statement. That's just a stupid statement. But but you just got to be able to figure out how God's going to take that and mold that in you. And so this is not an easy thing. I mean, again, you know, there's nothing easy about this. And anybody that's ever dealt with an angry person or anybody that's ever dealt with anger issues knows that this is true. And so the harshest thing that they heard on Sunday or that they'll hear in the days ahead when they listen to what we said on Sunday, the thing, and I guarantee you, and I knew it when I put it together, and I did it on purpose. I mean, it wasn't an accident. I mean, I knew what I was getting into when we went into the series. The three harshest words I said is that your anger can be summarized in these three words: you owe me. And you're mad because you haven't gotten your way. A person who's prone to anger, that really ticks them off, doesn't it? As you can imagine. That really sets them off. And it sets them on this road of all the scenarios where they want to debate, I'm wrong. I got that. Debate away. But as I've had the opportunity to talk to some folks that were upset by it, because it hit a little bit close to home, I said, but we're not really talking about that, are we? We're talking about you. Which also has a tendency to make them mad, just so you know. But that's okay, too. I mean, that's okay, too, because that's what this comes down to. Getting to a point where we understand that our anger does not have to define us, does not have to drive us, does not have to make us less than the person that we were created to be. You can be angry and not sin. You can be angry and move beyond it. And when you get angry, it's really not as much about the other person or what they've done. It's about you and how you're reacting. And you can't change the other person. You can only change you. So now we're back to, how do you react in such a way that honors God? And how do you react in such a way that you can shine his light into darkness, share his love, be able to operate out of grace and mercy, and then, of course, forgive. And so Sunday, we're going to take that another step down the road just a little bit. And I don't know if it's more fun. We're going to show you another Donald Duck clip. That's a good thing, right? I mean, we're going to show more Donald Ducks. That's always a fun thing to do. I mean, we're going to illustrate it with fun stuff. But, I mean, it is one of those things where it can be extremely difficult and learn skill. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." And in Proverbs 16:32, it says this, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city." In other words, learning to control your anger is a battle that is worth fighting. It is worth winning. It can step in. It can calm a situation. And it is of great, great value, even more valuable than the ability to defeat an entire city. The ability to control your anger is that powerful. Again, that's what Proverbs says. And so, for all of us, I mean, it's a hard thing to wrestle with. There's no doubt about it. And it's something we'll always battle. And so if you do, don't panic over it. Just keep battling it. Now, question about that, thoughts about that. We got to wrap this thing up. I know you guys aren't angry. You're here. It's Wednesday night.
Well, it seems to be a man issue because it's always men.
Oh. Are you crazy?
Because they're dealing with women.
Oh. I don't think
so. Did I say that out loud?
Yes. Did I really?
You're going to really get some calls now.
That we say at my house. Did I say that out loud? No. Yeah, it's recorded now. Yeah.
What you must remember is anger is a choice.
Yeah, sure it is.
It's a choice. You can choose to be angry. You can choose to laugh at it and forgive it. But forgiveness is not a choice. Paul told the Colossians, you must forgive because Christ forgave you.
That's command. Yeah.
And, of course, and that's only is the balance to this. Because you know, we sometimes forget, and we've got 60 seconds, so we'll wrap it up here. In all of our lives, I mean, culturally, you know, we live in a world that doesn't always make the spiritual peace easy. You know, and I know with this crowd, you guys know this. This is nothing but screaming at the choir. But just like anger's a choice, you know, love's a choice. But those are words and those are definitions that, boy, our culture just doesn't get because. We fall into love, which just means you're clumsy. You know, love is a feeling. It's a many splendid thing. Love's a battlefield. According to Pat Benatar. you want to keep going? But I mean, love is a whole lot of things that's been defined by the music industry and things like that, and we've kind of got this idea of what love is. But at the end of the day, it's not any of those things. It's a choice. It's a choice because the Bible lays it out real simple. Love God, love others, love your enemies. Well, I got to love God, I got to love others, love my enemies. That's not a feel-good kind of thing. Let's write a song about that. You know, it's a choice. Anger, you know, while there's a feeling attached to it, anger, as we've been talking about, it's a choice. I mean, you make a choice. This is what's going to go and happen in your life, and that's why it's be angry but don't sin. The choice part of it is sin, to continue on that path. And that's what's so difficult about these creatures, and that's why you have to learn and you got to bring them, you got to bring them under control in your life. The great news is that Scripture doesn't leave us alone on this. The great news is that the Bible tells us how. The great news is the Bible gives us the answers for that. And wherever you are in your journey, this is something that we all have to deal with and something we all have to figure out along the way. And you battle it your entire lives. But don't let that get you angry. Learn how to deal with it. And the creatures hate it when you put them under the light. And they flee the light. So let's pray and we'll be done. God, we get so angry sometimes because life doesn't always work the way we want it to. And it frustrates us and it causes us to think goofy thoughts, and sometimes it's just not as easy as we want it to be. And Lord, we've all been there. We've all dealt with it. We've been angry ourselves, and we've dealt with angry people. And Lord, sometimes it's real easy to lose our focus and lose our perspective and convince ourselves it's okay. And it's not. And we live in a world where people need to understand that. But realistically, the people that need to understand it the most are those that follow you. And so, Lord, help us as we kind of process and learn and navigate these creatures that are looming out there so that we might discover within us that version of us that you see, the person that you created us to be, and allow them to come forth and become everything that we were created for. Be with us as we move into the rest of this week. Help us as we deal with others to be a voice of calm in a world sometimes of craziness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.